it's really hard to say, I have a vision and a plan for what I want to build, and I'm going to block out all that noise, and I'm going to trudge forward slowly and deliberately like the tortoise, and I'm going to get there.
Welcome to 33 Tangents, a weekly podcast featuring a rotating panel of co-hosts that all work together in the same company, but live in different areas of the world. The discussions cover a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. Right, and we're back at it again. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. The skies are blue and amazing. But it's cold. I sat outside for about 30 minutes, and I'm trying to get my core temperature back up, but I'm a little bit what is it? Stir crazy? Cabin fever?
Oh, cabin fever, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm ready to spend some time outside.
Yeah, I get that. Like it's nice out right now. It's supposed to get nice this weekend. So looking to
enjoy that for me, because this weekend, let's see. The Apple weather app is so volatile. This morning it was rain Saturday, snow Sunday. Now it's 40% chance of rain Saturday, overcast Sunday. And maybe I'll change by the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Blizzard on Sunday.
So. Yeah, well, what was it, about 2 years ago they bought, it was a Dark Sky, and they've integrated that into the weather app. Like, that was kind of like one of the apps most people went to for weather outside, like the default one.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. I always go to Weather Underground.
Yeah, Weather Underground's good.
I think primarily because there's like a bunch of people in my neighborhood that have the weather stations that pipe data into it, so you get like hyper local.
Oh, that's nice.
Measurements. So yeah, anyway,
all right, so let's dig in for this week. We're continuing our theme around simplicity and getting back to basics, and the idea really for those that have fairly mature analytics and testing practices, taking a look at the things that are core, basic, I don't want to say practices within the practice, but like the core basic things that you should be doing for a successful practice that a lot of times sometimes we get away from. We start out that way, and then we start to get into more complicated things, or maybe like, I want to say fancy things. And we kind of move away from the basics, and we start to neglect some of those core things we should be doing. So the last 2 weeks, we had Jen join us, and we talked about architecture and the urge to over-engineer and get away from the core basic things you should be doing. Last week, we talked about tag managers. This week, I want to take a look at analysis. And specifically, the way I'm posing this is like, what is the core analysis your analytics practice should be performing that will make them successful? Does that question make sense?
It does. And I think I may expand it a little bit, because this is a conversation that I'm having with a client right now. And I think the starting point that maybe some of us start at and we lose sight of it, but I think a lot of us don't even start at, because we want to run before we, you know, crawl and walk, is what is our data distribution strategy? Or, you know, what are the different layers of how we leverage data should we be looking at? And I think that this is where so many teams that are focused on output get themselves into trouble, is they don't define that. And what ends up happening is they become order takers. Because we don't have a defined data distribution kind of hierarchy, then everything is an ad hoc one-off request. And we get overwhelmed and burdened with requests, and it becomes unsustainable. And so as I talk to companies, I advise them on kind of setting their hierarchy of data output needs. And at the basic level, we have like basic reporting. You know, what reports do we need to have available and easily accessible? Who is going to access those, and on what cadence? Is it something that they can get all the time? Is it something that is packaged and mailed out weekly? You know, what does that foundational layer look like? The next layer up starts to blend and get closer to analysis is, okay, well, what sorts of things are, you know, not quite analysis, but not quite reporting? What sorts of things need a little bit of an eyeball on it to make some commentary about the data? A little bit more than this metric went up or this metric went down, but this metric went up because we had a campaign last week. You know, so what does that look like? And what are the core pieces of information that need to be distributed in the business? And again, who's consuming it and at what cadence? And that can be dashboards, that could be mailed reports with commentary, but you know, that's kind of that middle tier. The top tier from an analysis standpoint is the more proactive piece, or the piece where we're working with the business on specific requests and getting less away from kind of the reactionary, hey, can you look at this? And more of a, what critical things should we be analyzing about our business to provide our business stakeholders with insights and information, so when they're making decisions on budgets, on product design, on strategy, that they have the insights that they need. And the strategy that I've worked with the businesses that I'm working with is start with the end in mind. You know, what is the ultimate transaction point for your customers? Is it to book something? Is it to buy something? Is it to read something? Is it to subscribe to something? What is kind of the ultimate thing that you want people that are using your digital properties to do? Let's use that as our starting point and work backwards and start to do some core analysis on those critical metrics, the paths and the behavior patterns that influence those metrics. Those to me are like the three critical pieces of kind of core, you know, I won't call it analysis, but core data insights and distribution that every company should be doing. But unfortunately, because we don't put the time in to be deliberate about doing those things, because we haven't set expectations with the business on what insights they can expect to get and when, then again, everything becomes an ad hoc request. Everything becomes a fire drill. And now the analyst is overwhelmed because they're getting hit up from marketing, from product, from IT, from security, from legal, from like everyone's just piling on. We need something weird's happening here. Can you look at this? Can you look at that? And it's incredibly difficult to manage that workload. And furthermore, it's a road to burnout for the analyst, and ultimately the business isn't truly focusing on those like core data needs that they have. And that isn't to say that the questions that are being lobbed over from the business aren't valuable. They are. It's just the framework in which we're evaluating them is broken, and the value that they could get out of answering those questions is greatly reduced because of that.
I liked how you started that with talking about like, there's organizations, they want to walk and run before they're even crawling.
Yeah.
And they skip over these foundational things because they think that they're silly, or they've seen other mature organizations doing some very complex analyses, delivering very insightful, valuable data, but not having seen how the length of time it got there. Like a parallel I draw is like, those people that are in their 20s want everything that their parents have in their 40s.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that their parents didn't always have that. Like, you know, they're looking at their parents in their 40s who are established in their career for 20 plus years, have been able to slowly build something, and they want that right away in their 20s. And yeah, like that's constantly a thing we have to remind organizations, is that you got to crawl first. You've got to get these core tenants down as part of your practice, and whatever they are, like, and we'll talk about a few of them, but really it's the, you know, you got to get this stuff down. Don't try to jump to what you see other people doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very real factor. I think another factor is that we have to be honest with ourselves on where we're at, and that means being vulnerable. And I think a lot of organizations, sure, there may be a desire to go directly to kind of running and flying, but I think a lot of it is they're operating under the assumption that we're already crawling and walking. And one, you know, we're just making the assumption of, oh, well, we're big brand X, of course we're doing all this stuff. And so, you know, there's that assumption that is never challenged. And so we're directly going to a phase that maybe we're not mature enough or ready to tackle. And again, that takes a lot of courage to be able to do that, because it's tough as like an analytics or a data leader to say, we are big company X, well-known brand Y, and I honestly can't tell you how many people come to our website every day. You know, like some very fundamental things. Like, I don't know. We don't know that. We can't answer that with any certainty. That takes a lot of courage to be able to say that. But I think that that's where it needs to begin, is to just be honest with ourselves and say, do we know the basics? Do we know how many people are visiting our site? Do we know what people's behavior patterns look like going through our primary conversion funnel? Can we answer those questions with any level of certainty? If not, that's where we need to start, as painful as that may be to admit.
I guess let's dig into some of these specific things. You know, you mentioning, like, you know, we can't even answer how many people hit our website a day, much less do anything else. Like, what are some of those, like, specific things? Like, can you name a few specific things that organizations should make sure they can do? Like, you know, flat out, like, there is no doubt before they try to conquer something more complex. Like, if you're not doing these three things right, if you know you can't do them with confidence, then you shouldn't be doing anything else. Yes. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Absolutely. And it's different for, it's probably different for every business, but the framework is the same. And the analogy, and I don't know if it's analogy, the positioning that I tell people is, picture yourself going on Shark Tank and your CEO is sitting next to Mark Cuban, and you get up there and he's going to start rattling off a bunch of questions for you about the performance of your website. Are you, and like the basics, right? Like, you know, if you're on Shark Tank, they're going to ask you things like, well, what's your revenue? What's your gross? What's your net? What are your profit margins? Every business has a core set of things that is important to them, and then specifically about their digital property. That's where we have to start. And if you don't know, ask, right? And I don't want to keep bringing this up, but we've talked with people where we've asked some very fundamental questions. Well, why do you guys even have a website? Like, what do you want people? Oh. Yeah, that's a really good, I don't know. Like, I don't know why we have a web. Like, we got to start there, right? So think like you're going to be in the spotlight on Shark Tank, and you're going to be asked questions about the metrics of how your website operates. They're not going to ask you complex questions like, what's the mixed media marketing model, blah, 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 blah. Are you using first touch or last touch attribution? Can you tell me about like your 18-step conversion flow in the fall? They're not going to ask that, right? They're going to ask, how many people come to your site? Where are they coming from? Tell me about the unique segments of people. How many people are converting? What's your conversion rate from start to complete look like? It's going to be some very basic fundamental questions that revolve around every digital property. And again, there's going to be some uniqueness. So you have to ask it about your website, your app, your product, your business. And then kind of, again, think about, if I was going on Shark Tank and they're going to pepper me about questions about the performance of our website, what do I have to have in my back pocket to sound like I'm really confident and I know what I'm talking about? Like, that's where I start. And again, like, I think we jump to all of these complexities around, you know, like, well, we're stitching all these things together and we have this really complex methodology to be able to attribute, you know, marketing spend. I'm like, all of that is great. But if you can't pull out that card, or if you can't from memory stand up in front of a panel of people and rattle off the numbers about those core things, we're jumping way ahead. We have to start there. And if we do, it creates a tremendous amount of trust, and it builds a very real and meaningful foundation where we can then go on and do those more complex things. But without that core foundation in place, we're lost. We're literally building a castle on a foundation of sand.
Yeah. So how often do you think people jump to the more flashy, complex, like interesting analyses versus, you know, making sure that the core fundamentals are in place out of not necessarily the excitement and desire to do it, but just the idea to be able to seem to talk big?
I mean, I think it's part of it. I think it's an incredibly complex and nuanced reason why, but I think there is a desire to talk about all these really cool things we're doing. Like, it's boring talking about basic fundamental metrics. It's boring. You know, it's like, it doesn't have the appeal of me being able, again, going to a conference and saying, you know, we developed this incredible, you know, model that is able to do X, Y. Like, that's way more entertaining than me sitting down at a conference saying, well, you know, we have X number of people coming to our website and, you know, Y percent is converting. It's like, okay. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of it. I think there's a keeping up with the Joneses aspect to it, which has always plagued our industry, where, well, so-and-so's doing X, or, well, this company's doing Y, so we have to do it. Why? You know, like, why? But I think that that's a very real thing. And then I think just from a personal perspective, from a career progression standpoint, we want to be working on bigger, more advanced, more complex things because it looks better on our resume. It puts us in a better position for our next gig. And so I think, you know, those and a lot more factors come together to put it in a place where, again, we're often, what's the saying? Way out ahead of our skis. You know, so like when I was learning to ski, that was the problem. Like, you get way out ahead of yourself, and what happens? You fall over, and then you crash, and you tumble down the hill.
And then you break a leg.
Yeah, but that's where we're at as businesses. We get so far out ahead of our skis, and then we fall down, and we tumble, and then we wonder, like, why didn't that work? It's like, well, we way overextended our ability and where we're at. And even though we may have the ability, we may be learning something new. It's a new set of skis. It's a new hill. It's a more complex technical hill. Like, there's so many factors that we have to have that, again, like, humility and kind of trust that it's okay for us to not look like we're got it all figured out and we're the most advanced ever. It's okay to kind of take it slow and learn it and mature, but I guess that's easier said than done. And it's easier said than done from my standpoint, where a lot of employees are under pressure to show that we're doing more and more advanced things. So I think a lot of it is self-inflicted from quote-unquote leadership or management saying, well, we got, you know, we have to show the boss that we're doing more and more advanced things so we can get more budget, you know? Yeah.
And you actually set up my next question perfectly. So put yourself in the shoes of someone running an analytics program, whether that's like management level, even director level, and you're getting that pressure to do the flashy, more advanced things, or even the keeping up with the Joneses. Hey, so-and-so who I know over here is doing this. Why aren't we doing that? How do you push back to say, like, we need to focus on the fundamentals and we need to make sure this stuff is in line, is, again, we, to your point, like, we can rattle off these answers no problem before we even tackle that.
I don't know if people should listen to my advice, because I think the way that I do it is pretty blunt. And I probably lack a little bit of the refinement needed to kind of dance through these political waters. But when I was client side, I'll give you a great example. I was client side. At the time, I felt like I had a pretty solid strategy, and it was probably good for what it was at the time and my experience, and I probably would do it different now. But, you know, I was the most experienced in the company to set the data strategy at the time. And the COO comes along and says, so I was out to lunch with one of my friends. And, you know, he works over at, you know, this company over there. And they're a pretty big deal. Now, they bought Crazy Egg. It's revolutionary. It's this heat map. And you can see where people are clicking and scroll. We have to drop everything. And we have to deploy Crazy Egg. And you know, do you know what my response was? Why? I'm like, why? What do you mean? Like, why? Why do we have to deploy it? Like, what is it going to do for us? What is it going to solve for us? What is it going to give us that we aren't getting today? Oh, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, we're not going to do it then. As soon as you know why we're going to do that and it's going to be the top priority, we can have a discussion about it. But if we're just doing it because this other company is doing it, it's not a good reason, so we're not going to do it. Again, I don't know if that's the, if you should take my approach, but that's kind of been my approach. Why? Why are we doing it? Can you articulate why this is, we should drop everything we're doing, change our entire strategy, and do this thing? Why?
It's almost like take the four-year-old approach. You know, the four-year-olds always ask, why?
Why?
We need to go do this. Why? Why?
And I think people probably get frustrated with me because my answer to most people's questions or wanting me to do something is met with more questions. But it's not that I'm trying to be obstinate. It's not that I'm trying to be difficult. But I truly want to understand, like, why are we doing this? Help me understand so that if we do this, I can craft a meaningful strategy to make sure that you're getting the experience and the value you want. And because your friend over at Company Y is doing it is not the answer I'm looking for. Like, help me understand. I have lots of questions. Help me understand. Why are we doing this?
So now I want to flip it around. And you are that senior management. And you want to make sure that your team is focused on the fundamentals so that you can trust the data to, you know, the people you report to. How do you keep your team focused and not distracted by the new shiny object or the, like, balance the excitement of, yes, it would be great to do that, but we should not consider that unless I know these things are solid.
So I think it's a multifaceted answer. One, you have to lead by example. It's one thing to say that, but if you're not living that, then, you know, that's not going to ever work. So you have to kind of do what you say that we should do. Number two, I think it's important to make time for play. In that, I think thinking about, like, big future plans and new technology and new ways of doing things, we should actually do that in a sandbox, in a way where we're playing, because it's important for individuals. It's important, especially in technology where things move so quickly. It is important that we're aware of what's happening. And the only way we can really be aware is to kind of play around in a sandbox a bit. And so I think it's really important. If I was running a client-side data team, I would take Fridays off. And I say, look, Fridays, we're not working. Fridays is our laboratory time. We're gonna have play time. You know, you wanna go mess around with the new analytics tracking technology? Let's do it. You wanna go play around with some, you know, data APIs? You wanna go play around with BigQuery or something? Go do it. And it kind of gets that need to experiment on production out of the system. It solves a problem of being disconnected from where the industry is going. And it just helps us be more creative because we have that time. But again, I think it's so difficult for people to say, we're not going to work, or we're going to have to take a half day off every week in order to just play. But I think that play time solves so many of our problems that it's well worth the, quote, not working for 4 or 5 hours. And so I think that that's a big piece of it. And the other piece of it as a leader is kind of going back to number one, I can't fall into that trap. I can't fall into that trap of being reactionary where everyone around me is saying, well, we have to do all these things. And now I, as a leader, am falling into that trap. If I fall into it, there's no hope for the team. And so it takes a huge amount of backbone and trust in yourself and your vision for the team to be able to kind of stay the course and not get pushed off balance so easily.
So, I mean, as we start to come down to it, what else, what other thoughts do you have? Like, maybe are there certain questions you were hoping I would ask, or what other thoughts do you have kind of on this topic?
No, I mean, I think we kind of came full circle back to what people really need to hear, and that it's more important than specific metrics or specific analysis that we should complete or specific reports that we have set up. The most important thing about running a healthy organization is knowing and having trust in your taste and your strategy for how you want the team to work. And then setting that strategy and being able to go slow and deliberate in order to get to where you want to be in a world that is telling you that you have to do the opposite. That, you know, I hate the phrase, you know, fail quickly. It's so stupid. You know, like, we don't have to go fast. We can go slow and deliberate. And I mean, you know, the hare and the tortoise is not wrong. You know, you can sprint out ahead, but the tortoise in its deliberate forward momentum is going to beat the hare every single time. But that takes, again, it takes a lot of strength and courage to do that, because your bosses, their bosses, the industry, everyone around you is going to tell you, you know, throw your strategy away, you know, you just fail fast, try new stuff and fail and fail and fail. It's really hard to say, I have a vision and a plan for what I want to build, and I'm going to block out all that noise and I'm going to trudge forward slowly and deliberately like the tortoise, and I'm going to get there. I mean, I think that's the magic solution. I realize how difficult it is when you're in an organization where you're hearing the opposite. You're saying, you're hearing from your leadership team, well, I mean, we can fire you and go get someone else that's going to run fast. It's hard to stay true to your convictions. But at some point in time, we have to say, well, why are we doing this? Are we doing this to just be a puppet, to go down a path we know is going to end in failure? Or do I have the strength and the courage to take all of these attacks and arrows and move forward with a strategy that I trust and know will be successful?
And yeah, you bring in the fear component, because I think a lot of what we've talked about today has been around kind of like the excitement or the distraction of potentially shiny objects or wanting to rush ahead to be more advanced. But the fear aspect, mm-hmm. that plays a huge role. Like,
massive.
If I don't do what my boss says, even though I know it's not the right thing, I'm gonna be out of a job.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, I empathize with it. It's really, really tough, but you have to make the decision of, am I okay being a character in someone else's play, or do I trust in my instincts and abilities to do things that I feel are right for me? And it's not always going to work out in the short term, but I have a fundamental belief that it will work out in the long term. I've seen it work out that way in my career. I've seen it work that way in this business, where I've turned away work, we've walked away from work where it didn't fit. You know, the paradigm says that's not the way. You take it all. You go fast. You get all of this. And I'm like, no. Like, even though this may not make sense, and even though I may be quote-unquote punished financially in the short term for this decision, history has shown me when I move forward with trust in my taste and my vision for what I want to do, in the long run, it's always worked out. Always.
All right. I think, and actually that's a great place to end it there. So I couldn't have said it any better myself. And I think that is ultimately where we sum this up is the, you know, the story of the tortoise and the hare. Sometimes you just, you need to take it slow. You got to crawl before you walk.
Absolutely.
Because if not, you know, you're going to have a program that is held together by spit and duct tape.
Yep. And how stressful is that to try to hold that thing together until it eventually falls apart?
Yeah. That's not fun at all.
No.
So. No. All right. Well, hey, this has been a great chat. Like I said, I came into this one with just a very broad question and was curious where it would take us, but turned out to be a really good one.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Yeah, cool. So let's go ahead and wrap up there, and we'll talk to everyone later.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of 33 Tangents. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast aggregator so others can find us. you would like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at 33tangents.33sticks.com. 33 Tangents is a production of 33 Sticks, an analytics boutique.